This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The beginning of February marks the launch of the British Columbia Provincial Eating Disorders Awareness Campaign and the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. This year's campaign will be held from February 3rd to the 19th in 2013. Provincial campaign coordinator Amy Candido has a passion for prevention after being tortured for years by her own eating disorder. Amy's eating disorder began in grade 8 and continued until her mid-20s. "I was existing, not living," she says, "but life has since changed for the better." Now 28 and recovered, Amy Candido has presented in over 30 elementary and high schools on eating disorders, disordered eating, body image, and self-esteem. She also helped to organize 3 flash mobs in the Lower Mainland and has assisted in several public education events. We're joined on the phone by Amy Candido.
Welcome to People First Radio, Amy.
Hi.
Amy, you told the Burnaby Now newspaper that your eating disorder started during junior high school when you decided to become a vegetarian. Now, that seems relatively innocent, and it's a fairly common choice for a young person. Tell us more about that time and what happened.
High school was pretty rough for me. I wasn't good at much. I wasn't good in sports, in like music, choir, band, like nothing. I was just kind of floating around almost. And there was just even a lot of pressure to fit in with anywhere. And especially when I got to grade 12, there was a lot of pressure with like going into university. What university should I choose? What stream should I choose? What if I upset my parents? I'm the golden child. I have to make the right decisions. I have to make choices. It was just a lot on my plate, and at least.
And so how did an eating disorder arrive out of those situations?
I think because I didn't want to make those, I wasn't ready to make those choices. I wasn't ready to grow up, in a sense. And so I'm just like, you know, I'm going to stop everything and crawl into my little shell of an eating disorder, and just, it's safe here. And I could stay a little girl here. And I don't have to progress into that scary world of adulthood. And I mean, through the years of therapy that I had, that's just kind of what I found out, that I really wasn't ready. And I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself to be perfect and to make the right choices and to earn a good income and to make my parents proud of me. And so, yeah.
You told the Burnaby Now newspaper that your mother had you admitted to BC Children's Hospital, but you, quote, did not respond to treatment. What does that mean?
Well, I didn't really receive any treatment because I was there for a day because they don't allow this anymore, but then I was just completely like, I'm fine. My mom's mixing me up with my sister. It's my sister that's sick, and my mom is crazy. And so the doctor then said, you know, he said to my mom, you know, that there's about a 3-4 month waiting list of kids who want help, and she clearly doesn't want help. And so I was discharged that same day. And then my whole thinking, I remember, was, you know, I'll talk about change, but I'm not ready to make any changes.
You were diagnosed with anorexia nervosa.
Yes.
You talked also about black and white thinking, which is common among perfectionists, and that really highly impacted you as well. How did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, I know, I mean, I don't know how it happened, but I know it was just in my head. It's almost like there was no other options. There was no middle ground. It was just the two extremes. I was either completely in control or completely out of control. I was either worthy or worthless. I was good or bad. And I noticed from talking to others, this type of thinking is very common amongst people with eating disorders. And it was hard. I mean, I remember my therapist would say, you know, we got to get you out of this black and white thinking and into rainbow thinking. And so, and thinking in kind of like the shades of colors. So, and it really opens up your world, by the way, by without thinking black and white. And just, it opens it up and it adds options rather than subtracting and just those two options. So,
you told Burnaby Now, the newspaper, that you recognized that you had a serious problem, but you weren't ready to take steps toward recovery, and then you became bulimic as well. How did all of that emerge?
That how I became bulimic?
Yes.
How I became bulimic? I guess I just kind of got a loss of control, and I just felt that was the only... I mean, at the end of the day, regardless of what behavior I was doing, it was still an issue with food. It was still an issue with control. And it was just coping in a different way, very unhealthy way. But, I don't really know how that happened. I mean, that whole eating disorder era that I was in was just kind of a blur, and I don't actually know the exacts, but it was just, at the end of the day, it was still the same issues.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
British Columbia's Provincial Eating Disorders Awareness Campaign and the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week will be held this year from February 3rd to the 9th in 2013. Provincial Campaign Coordinator Amy Candido has a passion for prevention after being tortured for years by her own eating disorder. Amy is sharing her story of illness and recovery with us today.
Amy, what was the turning point for you, the point at which you began your journey to recovery?
Oh, I'd say that was when I got accepted into a master's program at UBC, into physio, and, you know, I was going to be an expert in exercise. I was going to be, like, everyone from Vancouver was going to want to see me. And, you know, the best physiotherapist ever in BC. And the dean of the program pretty much said, you know, this is a health profession. And if you can't help yourself, how could you help other people? So I was let go of the program. I was told to leave. And so I remember on the bus home, the 99B line, and it's when I was like, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I mean, by that point, it's been quite a few years that I was kind of engulfed in my eating disorder, and that's why that point I was like, I'm tired. It's like I was waving the white flag. I'm like, I'm tired of fainting. I'm tired of, you know, moodiness, and I want a life back. I want to eat without regret. I want to not have food control me. I want friends. I want to get married one day. So that was kind of that was it. That was like all my marbles were put into that jar, and I needed another way out.
What were the key steps that followed in your recovery?
Feeling my feelings was big. I really had to feel my feelings, whether like it be journaling or talking about it, and challenging my negative thoughts, because there was a lot of them. And changing my behaviors. I also had to find a purpose, find anything. Like, I remember I had to go to the community rec center and choose an activity. You know how they have, like, pottery and they have scrapbooking, knitting, and, like, I had to find something else to do other than, you know, exercise, calories, diet books, food, like, something else, a purpose. And someone... Oh, and my mom really, really helped me. Just someone to reach out to, other than looking for my eating disorder for advice.
And Amy, you began to help others as well. You started to work as a peer support worker for youth with eating disorders, and you continue to do that work. What's that all about, and what's that like for you?
I enjoy it. So I help people of all ages with eating disorders, or even parents or counselors who need help on how to approach someone. I actually love it. I would do it for free. And because, I mean, I get it. I was there, and I didn't learn it in a textbook. Like, I lived it, and I just feel, like, extreme empathy whenever I hear someone else's story.
Amy, we have just a moment left in this interview with you. Is there anything you'd like to add to our conversation today? Is there anything you'd like to say to anyone out there who might be suffering with an eating disorder at this time?
Well, right now, like, whoever is listening, and if you are struggling, just know that you're just as you are right now today, you are enough. Just as you are.
Amy Candido, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
No, anytime.
And stay on the line. We'll be speaking with you further in just a few minutes. And anyhow, this, I guess, your personal story, sharing your personal story publicly like this was much appreciated.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
Amy Candido is an eating disorders peer support worker with the Kelty Mental Health Resource Center at British Columbia Children's Hospital in Vancouver. She's also the coordinator of this year's British Columbia Provincial Eating Disorders Awareness Campaign.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.